Check. There you go. Hello, good morning. My name is Jake, or I also do go by Jay. My pronouns are they, them, and I just graduated ninth grade. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about my story coming out during the pandemic multiple times, not just once, and then at the end doing a little bit of LGBTQIA+ education for people in case they don't know or they haven't learned enough or they want to learn more. So I'll start with the pandemic. I came out in seventh grade at the best part during COVID, watching Schitt's Creek. It was a lot easier because I could just tell my family I'm Daniel Levy. I am trying to be like Daniel Levy, and that was really easy because I come with a very accepting family. Unfortunately, not as many people are as lucky or as fortunate. But I'm happy I'm also in this great community where I can also be expressive of who I am, regardless of what people think. It was a kind of rough start because we had just switched to online learning, and that was not going as smooth as a lot of people wanted to. But I thought I was way in over my head about how much fun this was going to be. I thought it was going to be so much fun because I could just be home and didn't have to do anything, didn't have to have any responsibilities. But that blessing slowly but surely became kind of a curse that took a while to overcome as the years moved on. But when it was my 13th birthday, it was very exciting because we had just finished online learning, and it was kind of like a nice break and a good reset. And unfortunately, we did go on vacation, and so I didn't get to see most of my family for a long period of time during my birthday because we didn't want to spread COVID, which was really sad. But it was still nice to see them regardless. And that was a choice we made, so I mean, we got the consequence. But starting into eighth grade, we didn't start for probably, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks because of all the forest fires. So we started school on Zoom rather late in October, close to October. And during that, I started adapting to new hobbies that I got to do at home. I enjoyed doing more feminine, not feminine, but more dominantly done by females. Doing like volleyball and doing dancing in my garage, which was really fun. I still do it to this day. I actually got into my high school dance team, which is really exciting. But then in January, I kind of had a gender identity crisis towards the end of January, where I didn't have the right gender for me to accept myself with before I could accept other people. So that was a long 6th, 7th month, maybe 8th month journey where I was kind of exploring my gender identity and kind of trying to fit not the societal norms, but maybe what society would expect, which I thankfully didn't do at the end. But my mom found this at her work. She found this great sheet where it was a gender spectrum, where it had these different colors that would fit your gender specifics. And she gave it to me, and I got to pick a point where it felt best for me. And I didn't choose the masculine or feminine colors. I chose a secondary or an even color. I chose a orange or green. I didn't choose a specific masculine or feminine stereotype color. I chose just a color that just fit right in the center. And when I told my mom that, there was tears of joy and nervousness, but in the end, it was joy, which is really nice. And then that kind of settled. And then when ninth grade started, which started great, I was thinking about other sexualities that might fit with my gender because I found people intimately or romantically attractive that weren't specifically male binary genders. I was thinking binary and non-binary individuals, trans individuals, which are kind of not on their own specific type, but they're also other specific like preferences, because some people like transgender people for who they are, but some people also like transgender people for specific traits that they hold from their cis or now. So some people, when they categorize different sexualities, they categorize them based on the way they were born or the way they transitioned. So I kind of chose a broader term for it, which is similar to bisexual. It's called polysexual, which basically just means I am romantically or intimately attracted to three or more genders. So it could be three, four, five, it doesn't matter. But it's not like pansexual, where I'm romantically or intimately attracted to anyone. It's a little broader, but also a little smaller, so that I don't have to pick. I can kind of fluctuate whenever I want, because it's just that broad. And then that kind of worked. It was a nice middle ground for me while transitioning through ninth grade, where I could kind of just feel like I had it. I kind of have it as it is. And of course, I still think about it every day. I still think about if I have different romantic attraction or different gender specificities, where maybe I choose to have more feminine parts or just stay neutral. But of course, that's, I still have years and years and years to think about it. It's not like I have to choose by the end of high school. I still got college, I still got, you know, whatever. I still got all my life to think about it. What else was there? Oh yeah, online learning. online learning was tough because you couldn't really see your teachers for most of it, if not all of it. Some students didn't have a choice. Some students had to stay at home because their parents forced them to, or so their parents didn't agree with it. So there were times where in seventh grade and eighth grade where I just had to just learn online and just had to navigate through it on my own. I didn't really have parental help because they were working. I didn't really get teacher help because they were struggling as well. So I kind of spiraled into this really big anxiety-induced, almost depression state, where I was very low every day, all day, kind of just didn't have any motivation to do anything. I would kind of eat more than usual, and I kind of just laid around doing nothing. So that wasn't healthy, obviously. That's not a healthy way to live. So when ninth grade started, I finally, during eighth grade summer, I finally got my butt up and started doing other things. One thing I've been doing for 5 months, close to 6 months, was yoga, and I love yoga because it hurts, but it feels right in the end. It makes me feel better. I mean, I got more flexible. I can do the splits. So I mean, that's one thing I got from it. And just practicing just how to do different things with your body just feels right. It made me feel more like myself, because again, it's not specifically feminine, but it is more female done, not male done. Because I like to make this joke to my mom, saying I'm just like all those middle-aged women doing yoga. And I also like to make jokes saying, like, oh, if I was in the relationship, I'd be the mom, because I'm the one that goes, honey, 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 eat your vegetables first. Don't eat the cake until you're ready. So I just like to make feminine jokes, because I always think of myself as the mom in the relationships, or the mom as the, you know, with other children. Like just yesterday when I was at the Langston's, I was with Charlie, and Charlie was she was eating her corn, and I was like, honey, 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 you have to eat your corn first before you get your treats. And she was laughing. She thought it was funny. And I was like, she was like, why are you saying honey, honey, honey? And I was like, and I told her, I was like, because I would be the mom relationship. And she's like, oh, honey, honey, honey. And it was just a funny, like, back and forth where we were just saying that. And then I've also adapted to my grandparents going, hi, bye. And they think it's the funniest thing ever. So sometimes when I say bye to them, they'll go bye, and I'll just respond with bye. Yeah, that was COVID. COVID, it was rough, but we all went through it. We all made it, and we're all here. Now I believe I do have some slides for Nolan. Thank you. All right, so here's some resources that my mom sent me about and images for LGBTQIA materials. So the one on the top left is the gingerbread person, which separates the different parts of a human, kinda. So expressions like on the outside, identities in the brain, attractions in the heart, and intimate feelings are at kind of the end, in the middle. Now, there's gender identity, which can come with feminine or masculine traits or neutral traits if you choose not to have one or the other. And if you have neither, you just self-identify as whatever you choose. Gender expression, which is kind of what I just said, it kind of goes with femininity and masculinity. And then if you choose in the middle, you kind of choose neutral. And if you choose none, then you kind of just choose whatever you want. Anatomical set and intimate attraction is femaleness, maleness, which can go into neutral, which means you don't care or you choose neither. And then at the end means you feel none, which would be asexual or aromantic. The sex assigned at birth is female, intersex, or male. I can go into intersex later. That's very complicated and not something a lot of people know. And then intimate, attracted to, with a feminine or female person. Now, if you go in the middle, it would just mean most likely feminine or just neither. Same with men and or masculine or masked people. That also, just if you're neutral, it could just mean neutral or masked people. Now, when you think about, when people think about LGBTQIA, like themselves, they think about people in your life who would support you no matter what, and who do you feel safe with. Like, for example, I feel safe with my sister and my mom because even though I love my dad, they possess feminine qualities, and I feel very comfortable with feminine qualities. I don't like to be associated with masculine things most of the time. Like, you know those masculine stereotypes where it's like big, strong people? I hate those. I absolutely hate the fact that I'd have to be associated with that. So I prefer to possess more feminine qualities. More things to think about is who in my life has my back no matter what. Again, that's like my sister. I love her. She's like my favorite. And she's, no offense to everyone else, I love everyone equally. But she is like my favorite. So I like to talk to her about anything remotely feminine or gay inclusive. So, because then she can just be like, yes! She can be funny about it. And then who in my life builds up my confidence? That one's tough because so many people build up my confidence. I love when people tell me compliments about not my appearance, but just about me being me. Or just people just expressing like how much fun I am to be with or how much different I've grown in the best way possible. And then this next part is, despite it being such a small word, pronouns hold a lot of significance when it comes to identity. She, he, they, it's not just a matter of grammar. Like, most people probably think of they think plural. That is starting to change. It's not so much now as plural. It can now be singular. It can be plural. It can be as different and as expressive as people want it to be. There is no specificity with using they nowadays, which I'm very thankful for. Research has shown that when social support across multiple environments uses the youth's chosen name and pronouns, suicidal ideation and suicidal behavior decreases by 29% and 56%. So if you just tell someone, if you use their name, if you use their pronouns that they prefer, like, I don't prefer Jacob. That is a name I don't really want to use anymore. It's like a dead name that I prefer having. So if that's difficult, though, I totally respect your choice, but I would much rather prefer the name Jake or Jay, which would be spelled J-A-E. Take away the K. And then starting a conversation about pronouns can be a life-saving intervention. There are so many teenagers that die from suicide every year. It's very sad because parents don't speak up, or this is the worst thing you could possibly say to a child. Are you sure? That is the worst thing you can say to a child. That child will have decreased confidence, will be more insecure about themselves, and will think, do I actually feel this way? That is, you cannot say that to a child. They will break down, and that does increase suicidal rates. So it is just best just to say okay, or is best to just keep talking to them about it. And if they change their mind, that's okay. You just have to, you just say, okay, you just move on with it. It is not like, it's not a something to fight over. It's not something to have an argument with. It's not something to break off your family because of. That's just ridiculous. And I have a friend who did lose their most of their family, if not all their family, to not just drugs and alcohol, but also to them identifying as transgender and them choosing to use different pronouns. It's sad. But he's still doing good. He has a boyfriend. He's living his best life. And like I said earlier, it's not just a phase. Embrace, don't dismiss. They're evolving a sense of self. There is no cure. That is something that I haven't heard personally from me, but other people have said is just really, it's gross. It's gross. Like, when someone wants to identify as trans, you can't just say, oh, it's just a phase. You'll grow out of it. Because there are some people from age 8 who just know they're trans and, like, grow up to still be trans despite societal expectations. So that is just, that's something I say bravo to them for. Don't look for blame. Instead, celebrate your child and all that they are. So don't crumble when someone wants to change. This is not something that is new. This has been going on for decades. However, this is now more common new. It is not just a San Francisco little town thing now. This is a international societal thing that is happening. So if someone does express with what they choose to express with, don't blame social media. Don't blame their friends. Don't blame yourself. Just take a deep breath and just talk about it. Just even if it's just that I don't agree, however, I will support you, that is still really helpful. It just knowing that you'll support them, even if you don't agree, it's still telling them that you'll still be with them. So it's okay if we have the next slide, Nolan. All right, so I was going to talk about the acronyms for LGBTQIA+, which are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, arrow, ace. It used to be ally, but they're kind of changing it as allies. A part of the community, but it's not in the community. It's outside of it, but it is a part of it. So arrow, ace is part of the community. So can we start the next one? All right, lesbian is L. The definition of lesbian versus what people think when they hear lesbian. The definition of lesbian is a woman, cis, or trans, and non-binary feminine people who are romantically or intimately attracted to females. When people hear lesbian, most people think of women loving women or WLW. Does anyone have any questions or want to take a moment of silence to process that?
Mm-hmm. What does cis mean?
Cis means the gender you're born with. So you are a cis woman. I am non-binary. My mom is a cis woman. If people are trans, they identify themselves as trans male or trans female.
So you assigned it for. Thank you. You identify with what you were assigned
with.
Yeah,
when you're born, your gender is cis female or cis male.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Do you want to explain the difference between sex and gender?
Sex is. Yeah, it's your genitalia. Gender is what you choose to have. So a lot of trans males may not get sex change surgery. Same with trans females. And so that does cause problems, like with the new abortion law that's going across the United States, which is so disappointing. I'm so annoyed with it, but I am still so proud that the Pacific Northwest is representing abortion as a thing that has the right for women and trans men to have. I'm just so happy, because I know there are people who will die from not getting an abortion. And that's sad. That's not something we should be having.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom, do you have any questions? All right, we can move on then. Next one, please. All right, G is for gay. This flag is more modernized now. The old one was the rainbow. but this one I prefer because it's more masculine traded with masculine people. I'll do the same thing I did with lesbians, the definition versus what people think. The definition of gay is practically the same as a female, so it's or lesbian, a male, cis, or trans, and non-binary masculine people who have intimate or romantic attraction to men. When people think of gay, they think of a man loving a man, or is the same as lesbian, MLM. Does anyone have any questions? Alrighty, we can move on. Alright, the definition of bisexual. So B is for bisexual. The flag is three colors to represent two different, so female, male, and then kind of a mix. And the best part about the middle color is that you can make it any shade of purple as you want. It could be as light or as dark as you prefer, which is really nice. The definition of bisexual, and for this point, biromantic, is having a romantic or intimate attraction to two or more genders. When people think of bisexual, people think of women liking men or women, and vice versa, men liking men or women. Does anyone have any questions?
Not a question, but one thing that I just happened to me this week, and so I would say to people, if you're heterosexual, and you encounter someone who is gay or whatever, I just tell you this what happened with me this week. So. And with that, I want to share with something that I think will helps everyone through this. But I was going to lunch, and I was heading for the sandwich shop over here in Happy Valley. And when I was heading in there, this guy comes out of T-Mobile, and he said, "Hey, Gary." And I was like, "I'm not Gary." And he goes, "I'm pretty sure." And I said, "No." He goes, "I know you, and I didn't know you don't know me." And I was trying to get into the to go eat lunch, you know. And I wasn't really paying attention to this guy, but he was coming after me like, you know, "Hey, hold on, stop." He goes, he goes, "Gary." I said, I looked him right in the eye. I said, "I'm not Gary." And he said, "Well, you're a very, very good looking man, and you're very beautiful." And I had to stop, and I was like, "Whoa, wait a second. I didn't know what was going on here." And so, I looked back and I said, "Okay, well, thank you, sir." And I turned around and I said, "I'm going to go eat lunch." And I left. But the other thing is to really have space for people and be in the right mindset that that you don't find things off-putting, even though it's something you weren't looking for. But I think it's really just having space for others. And I think that's a good place that we're having today here. But even in our own lives, regardless of how we feel outside of here, is just to give people space and give people place to be in life and really take time to not judge, because that's when we can't reach another person or love another person is when we've put judgment up. So just remember that as we go today.
And I was going to say the biggest problem with bisexuality is that a lot of people who are bisexual but still date opposite sex, a lot of people are biphobic about it. They will say comments basically saying, "Oh, so you are straight." And people will say, "That's not true." And then people will constantly comment about the fact that they identify as a different sexuality, but yet they still choose to have intimate attraction with an opposite gender. And that might not be the case for everyone, but I do know people. It's very common for people to come out as bisexual during middle school and high school because it's a time to explore. And it's a great time because you are meeting peers and new people that you've never met. So it is just, it just makes me sad when people just, I associate bisexuality with someone dating someone the same gender. Because you, if someone says, "Oh, I only like men," but they still identify as bisexual, you, it's okay to say that is, that's totally okay. But if that's the only, they only choose to have romantic and intimate attraction to only males, then it's not true. You're basically breaking that part. you identify as straight or gay in that situation. So it's just really hard for people just to deal with the fact that they might date someone who's the opposite sex, but they still might have romantic attraction to the same sex. Does anyone have any questions?
Okay, so I'm really behind, so I need your help.
That's okay.
So when I think of gender, I think male or female.
Yeah.
And that's all I think. So when you say there's multiple genders, when I think of gender, I think male and female. So when you say there's multiple genders, that's really shocking to me. So are you meaning bisexual then as a gender?
I mean bisexual as in you can, well, there is bigender, which does mean two or more genders. But when I mean by bisexual, I mean by someone who's a female could be intimately or romantically attracted to females and non-binary people. And that's what they choose. But then when people tell them that if you only choose to have romantic attraction to the opposite sex, then you don't identify as bisexual.
Okay.
People say, like when people identify as bisexual, but then they don't choose to date the same gender, people often associate them then with straight.
So they put them in a category.
Yeah, and that is the worst problem with this. Yeah. This one, it's the worst problem because people will often associate them with one or the other. There's no both.
So my question is what other gender beside male and female?
Well, so non-binary, you can choose non-binary. Okay. Technically, I said this earlier, but technically transgendered goes in that. Okay. It really doesn't, but some people do have preferences based on genitalia, what they choose to date people with. So it often does associate transgendered and non-binary people with that. And again, it's two or more. You don't have to choose just two, but the stereotype is just two.
Okay.
Non-binary just means you choose to be outside the binary spectrum. So you're not male or female. You choose to be, it's just a really wide spectrum. Often non-binary people can be associated with transgendered, as some people do choose she, they, he, they, or just they, them. And honestly, it's really wide, and I actually made a slide for it for my own self-identity, so I can go more into that later, but that's kind of just the gist of what non-binary is. It's just outside binary genders, which can range from one to like over 100. It's really just your choice. All right, T is for transgendered. The definition of transgendered is an individual who has changed outside of the person's cisgender, so they're not the gender they're born with. Non-binary people also fall in this umbrella term, which just means this wide term. But people who are non-binary do not have to identify as trans. Like, I do identify as non-binary, but I do also choose to identify as trans. It's just a smaller, like, sub-term if people don't know what non-binary is. I just say, oh, I'm transgendered, but I haven't switched from male to female. Most people, when they hear transgender, is they hear a man or a woman changing to the opposite sex, which, like I mentioned before, that is quite common. That is pretty much what it is. But there are people who choose to be non-binary, who choose to switch genders and have outside binary and non-binary gender. So. Thank you, Tyler. My throat's dying here. I think I developed allergies from this weather. It's killing me. So like I was saying, transgender people, it could be she, they, it could be he, they. So they could choose to have opposite gendered, like he to she, but they can also choose she, they, she, he. They can actually choose to be both male and female, which means androgynous, which is another broad and not really common term. That again, is starting to pick up speed, like non-binary. So are there any more questions for anyone? I can tell you my pronouns, yes. My pronouns are they, them. Will I forgive you if you say male or masculine genders? Of course I will. I am not one of those little, like, sticklers that is always like, you said he, change it now. Like, I am very chill. My family knows this. I'm very chill with them forgetting. I often don't always correct someone, because as long as they know, it makes me happy. It makes me feel better just knowing at least they know, not so much using it. Like, I have friends who it's very tough for them to use outside binary gender. And so when I told them, they said, thank you for letting us know. We will try our best whenever. Often they do forget, but it, for me, it's okay. Because as long as they know, it makes me feel better. Yeah, they're not specifically doing it to target me. It's more of a grammar probably, yeah, because it's very hard to say, oh, how's Jake doing? Oh, they're doing great. It's probably something a little challenging for some people. Jordy?
So
whenever I meet someone new, is it often occurrence for me to express my pronouns?
Hi, I'm Jake. These are my pronouns.
It can be if they say he immediately. It's starting to become, at least in my high school, it's starting to become more normal to just meet new people and just say they. It is, okay. It's thank goodness too, because Sandy High School right now has been a pit right now. There's so mean. I'm happy that most LGBTQ people I know, they start off with just saying they as the neutral pronoun to do. Even if someone looks the opposite gender or looks the same gender as you, they still choose to say they to begin with. And if someone does say she and they don't correct them, oftentimes people just will say, okay, I know what to say now.
Jake, back here. While we're kind of talking about the pronouns, I know this is something we talk about a lot, but if you wouldn't mind sharing, when we accidentally use an incorrect pronoun, will you kind of share with us what is a good way for us to correct ourselves? I know I've talked with Amelia about, you know, sometimes it's best to just keep talking and then the next time use the correct pronoun. But sometimes if I say like, oh, he's there, oh no, darn, I mean they, that can sometimes make it more uncomfortable. So are there, and we don't want to put the emotional labor on you to have to correct and say, you used the wrong pronoun, please, you know, I don't want that always to be on you. So can you share with us what are ways we can best correct ourselves when we make mistakes?
That's a tough one, because no matter how much you try, sometimes it can be just very challenging for someone, and that's okay. No one's perfect. We were not built on this earth to be perfect humans. We were built here because we came out of our parents' womb. So that's how it works. So to answer that, kind of just like, it might be hard to think about, but just think plural or just think neutral. Just say sometimes, because they, them is very neutral. It's very subtle. So sometimes the best way to help remember is just to just say something neutral. Just say, think neutral or think plural. If you're thinking like, think of me as like two people, and if that helps, then that helps. Thinking neutral helps, that totally helps. And, or just repetition. If you eventually just do it enough, remember it enough, if you repeat it enough to where it works, then that also does work. I still, me being non-binary, I still do mess up, but I do, in mid-sentence, do fix, or I will just repeat the sentence saying the gender pronoun this person specifies with. Yeah, don't make a big deal about it. That's the last thing you should do, because that'll make everyone a little more uncomfortable. Amelia?
Can I add on to that a little bit? What I started doing a lot is referring to everyone as they, them. Especially when I'm surrounded by people who go by they, them pronouns. I just started calling everyone they, them, and that just kind of helped me get started practicing calling Jake they, them, and other people, because sometimes I feel bad if I assume people's genders because I don't know.
That's right. So. That is for sure one way, just to often use they as the only pronoun that someone that you can use. It's the safest route you could possibly take. It's just people don't notice it. It's very subtle when someone says a pronoun, but for people who usually change their pronouns, it's almost like your spidey sense is
tingling.
You can feel it. It's just like, okay, why don't we help fix that problem? But I do understand for people who are of older age who it may be just very challenging to the part where it's just like, I might need to be corrected every time, which is totally okay. Hey, you guys have been getting better. I've heard you two. You said they at least once. I've heard you guys. You guys are doing great.
Okay, let's go out in front then and back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
As maybe one of the older folks in here, I want to suggest the same, right? If you don't know, our middle child identifies as trans and uses they, them pronouns. And by the way, this week celebrating getting their name legally changed to Indian. It's really hard to, at least in your 50s, for me, my fixed brain, to use they. I have found that to be immensely challenging. Been practicing now for almost 2 years. But I do find myself, and that's what I was going to suggest, is what they say, is I find myself now falling into the pattern of just using they, partly because, you know, many of Indian's friends, use they, them pronouns. And so, right, came up, grew up my whole life, assuming if I heard a masculine name that there was a masculine pronoun, vice versa. But it's not true anymore for these younger kids. It's becoming very common, and so for me the practice is to just, let's just say they.
Yes.
Until you know better, say they. Because yeah, the plural thing, it confuses me like crazy. And our language is going to have to adapt. I presume maybe the younger people will not have the challenges I do with that. But yeah, I tell you, it's really interesting because after a couple of years of practice now, when I do slip out a gendered pronoun, it catches me, even if I'm right, because it matters.
Yes, it does.
It matters to these people that. I don't know what I mean by that, but it just matters, and my kids have been very, very helpful in correcting me. I'm saying that with maybe a tiny hint of something else, but they're very good at correcting us. But yeah, they is a good way to try to think about it and practice. I do recommend it, practice, even when you're by yourself or if you're reading a book, if you're singing a song. If you've noticed, we've been trying to do a little bit of the language change in our reference to God here, which I think is incredibly helpful.
And it's not grammatically incorrect.
Correct.
Because you've always said they when you don't know the gender.
That's
someone
right.
Dropped a dollar on the ground. Did you see where they went? Right? I'm going to go try to find them.
That's
I don't
right.
know who dropped the dollar. Let me go try
That's
to find
right.
them. You know, sorry.
That's right.
Real quick, I'll go over the queue and then IA kind of quick because it turns out we do not have that much time left before we have to start. Queue is just, it's queer, which just means you identify any way possible, any way that makes you feel most comfortable, which even if that means you don't, if you're still cis, straight, and heteroromantic, which just means attracted to the opposite gender, you can still choose to just say, I'm queer, I haven't figured it out, and that's okay. Intersex is something that's not common at all, but it is part of the community for a reason. Intersex does not have a stereotype or something that's specific because, like I said, it's still very new and there is none. Intersex just means you are born with a male and female genitalia. If that means you are born with breasts and, or if that means you're born with a penis, or if that means you're born with both or neither. Some people have neither. That's just basically what it means, and it, like I said, it's not very common. It is very rare to be born intersex, but it is very hard for some parents to cope with because it is something unnormal. It's not something that people are used to. And for the last one, it is aroace, which is a subturn in of itself for aromantic and asexual. Aromantic means you have little to no romantic attraction to anyone. That does not mean you don't love people. That does not mean you do not love your family or your friends or people that you're close with. It just means you do not have romantic traits. You do not feel like holding hands. You do not feel like kissing. You do not feel like snuggling all the time in a romantic state. You do not feel like those romantic ways. You just feel neutral. Same with asexual. Asexual just means you do not have any or very little romantic attraction to anyone. Maybe you don't feel like having any intimate moments ever, and that's okay. It doesn't affect anything about you. Some people have both, which the stereotype is that they have no heart or soul. Very incorrect. That is not true. It just does not mean they feel any intimate or romantic feelings, and you know what? That's okay. People do not have to pick what they want. Some people just... sometimes it's too stressful, or it's just something that they don't feel comfortable with. There are people who have like 15 different dates, and all of them end up with them saying like, oh, was this a date, or oh, I didn't feel this way. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, I'll go over my LGBTQIA plus identities. So the first one is non-binary, which we went over for a large period of time. The definition of non-binary is feeling outside of the binary spectrum, so outside of male or female. So not wanting to identify as a male or female, masculine or feminine, or sometimes not wanting to identify as trans, which, like I said, some people choose to not identify as trans. And the spectrum is very wide to the point where some people identify as agender, which means they do not identify with any pronouns. You will use their name as their pronouns. If someone asks, oh, how is Jake doing? You'd say, oh, Jake's great. Oh, Jake's getting the kitchen ready. Or, oh, Jake's making the salad. You would not say, oh, they're making the salad. Oh, he's making dinner. Oh, she's getting ready for prom. Like, it's just, you use their name. The next one is polysexual, which is very, very rare, but is a part of the community for the last 5-6 years. The definition of polysexual is having intimate attraction to 3 or more genders without preference. Some sexualities, including ones where you can have preferences for trans people, can also come into play identifying your sexuality. So, like I said with bisexual, some people choose to identify their sexualities being associated with different transgendered people. I have intimate attraction to men, non-binary, feminine or masculine, and then trans men, despite their genitalia. That does not matter for me. The point is that my preference is a male or non-binary, feminine looking or masculine looking. That's kind of what I choose. I choose to pick that, and like I said, that's okay. The last one's queer, which we also went over. For me, being queer is figuring out what my romantic attraction is, because I pretty much had my gender, my intimate attraction, or figured out. So as far as I'm aware of, I don't have a specific romantic attraction. I am experiencing with maybe this romantic attraction called demi-romantic, which does mean you do not feel romantic attraction with people unless you have established a friendship or relationship with someone, or you've known them for years, basically a close bond with them. Or I might identify with bi-gender, but it would be a smaller romantic spectrum instead of the intimate spectrum that I do identify with. So maybe I might have intimate attraction to 3 or more, but I might have romantic attraction to 2 or 3. It might just depend. And I don't feel like I have it figured out right now, and that's okay. I just, I'll figure it out when I'm ready.
That's right.
All right, that is it. Thank you.
Stay up here for just a second. Thanks, Jake. I'm grateful for you sharing and helping us see the world more widely. One of the things that stood out to me when you were talking was that you said, I need to learn to accept myself so I can accept other people. And the deep loneliness that comes from not fitting whatever's given to you as a gender or sexual stereotype, and yet the deep communion that came from being known as you know yourself. And I hope this can be a space where you can be known just as you know yourself. Let's pray for Jake. God of acceptance, open our horizons and boundaries to know and love just as you know and love. Bless richly our friend Jake. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's thank Jake again.